Good evening, Perry.
I own a motel. Not too far from here. And you'd be welcome to spend the night one of the empty rooms if you'd like.
Oh, it burns! Oh, it burns! And I'm the devil.
Hello.
Zip. Baba zip, zip, zip.
scary. Welcome to another episode of the Necronomicast.
Happy New Year.
That was Zip. This is Wayne.
This is Brian.
And I'm Doug.
So today it's all about the Babadook.
Babadook. Babadook.
We've got notes. We've got everything.
Ouch! What the fuck, Doug?
What was that? That was
sorry.
From under the bed.
It's knocking. It's got three knocks.
I'm trying to put my shirt under my feet because they're frozen.
They're so cold.
And my insulated flannel down there. Okay, continue.
Here we are. All right. We're going to talk about the Babadook today.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all seen the movie. And did everybody see it in the theater, or did we watch it?
You did. I did.
I saw it on demand.
On demand. Okay, cool.
Your basement's like a theater, though.
Yeah, it is kind of. I've never been there, but I've heard stories.
It's nice.
Oh, we'll make some stories.
It's got the surround sound with the monkeys in the background.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes freaked me out last night. All I heard was... it's like playing the whole time.
Behind you.
Yeah.
That's neat.
That's another story.
Even when you're watching Cops.
Yeah, right.
It's still on. You know. So, all right. Well, we're going to pull this up while you guys chat about this. Who wants to go first as far as overview synopsis? Again, this is going to be full of spoilers, so if you haven't seen the movie, turn it off now. Come back and listen to this podcast when you've seen the movie. Talk to us then.
Mm. But, where should we start?
Jeez.
Well, do we want to... you know what? I'm going to save Monster for... how about after that? So let's just start with this. We've been talking about this for a while.
Yeah.
Been really hyped.
Yeah.
It's been really
hyped. So I kind of want to talk about the hype on first off. They did have a lot of promotion behind it, and it's not necessarily a top horror film in every theater.
Is it playing anywhere in Omaha? We live in Omaha. Is it playing anywhere here besides the film streams?
I don't think so.
It's not in film streams anymore. It was there for like a week or so.
Which is kind of an art house independent film theater. Well, I just saw it, heavily advertised forever and ever on, like your Bloody and your Shock. And
it was mentioned on Film Spotting, which is like the, more... Not a horror podcast, but the film podcast that I listen to.
Right.
And they both recommended it.
Well, the one thing about it that I saw mentioned a number of times, and it was even mentioned by the guy in the concession stand when I saw it, was that it's not like... It's more of a classic horror in the sense that it's scary without the jump scares and the blood...
Mm-hmm.
We think of the slasher movies and, how a lot of modern horror is more bloody. This is more just terrifying, suspenseful.
Yeah. One of the guys on Thumb Spotting said, it was his best thing since The Conjuring is what he said.
Mm. Really?
I don't know if I would go that high, but that's what he said.
Well, even William Friedkin, the guy that directed
Exorcist. It was better than Annabelle.
It was better than Animal. William Friedkin said it was the most terrifying movie he's seen in years.
I don't know about that.
Did you see that quote?
Yeah. So that was kind of part of the hype, was that it was extremely frightening. And now, going back and... I don't know, when I think about it, it's almost hard to describe if it was a horror or more of a suspense drama.
Right.
It had a lot of aspects to it. Again, it was a lower-budgeted film.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was the first major film debut by the director, Jennifer Kent, and she had based this off of a short film, which we're going to talk about here a little bit later, called Monster, that she did as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just kind of go around and talk about the overall tone of the film.
Okay.
Even getting into it, developing of the characters, I thought that they did a pretty good job of straight up making you not like that little kid.
Yeah.
When you see the little kid,
he's pretty bratty.
Well, you know, sometimes you feel really sorry for him because, you know, the whole story starts off with the single mom. She's single because her husband died in a horrific car accident, taking her to the hospital to have their kid. So there's all this, it's kind of almost a study in depression and seasonal, what's that called? Seasonal
depression?
Affective disorder.
Yeah, you know, because that time of year comes around every year, and so the kid's seven, so it's, you know, it's now...
Oh, and it's his birthday.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's coming around. And then her sister, who's a real bitch... Yeah. She's, you know, she's kind of trying to distance herself from her and all those Stepford wives.
She's had enough.
Yeah. And so not only that, so they talk about it a little bit in the film. I don't know if you caught it, but she, when they're at the birthday party for the little girl, and they ask her, you know, what she did before she works at this, nursing home.
I didn't catch that.
Well, she said she did some writing. She was a writer and a lot of children's. She did some children's things.
Oh, really?
They kind of glossed over
that. It went by real fast, but she says that at that point, I wrote children's books.
So Brian hasn't figured out.
Yeah, I got it all figured out, but I don't know.
I think I've got it all figured out. We need to compare notes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Let's do this.
Lori kind of did too, so all right.
See, I was like, if they don't help me figure it out at the end, like M. Night, I'm never going to figure it out. Yeah. So,
and here's the reveal.
Yeah, I need all that replay. Oh, wow, you know, he's not really there. Mm. Stuff like that. So you guys talk about it because you know a lot better than I did.
Well, my impression of the movie or of what was going on, I don't think there is a monster.
Right, I don't either.
I think it's all that she's dissociative, they call that. Mm-hmm. Like it reminded me of Fight Club.
Mm-hmm.
Because the scene, I think in Fight Club, if you remember, the narrator was having these spells of insomnia, laying in bed, unable to sleep. But what was actually happening is he was in a dissociative state where his other personality, Tyler Durden, was going around doing all kinds of different things.
Right.
And so I think what's happening is all these scenes in the movie where she's kind of like... in like a daze, and I think at that point she's actually like writing the book, making the book.
Yeah, she makes it. Yeah, I think
it's a way to deal with her. She, you know, people have these breaks. That, you know, I don't know if I'm correct here, but I think
keep going.
People have this break where it splits into like almost another personality when there's an extremely traumatic experience, whether it's torture or assault or terror of some sort.
And hers is the Babadook.
And hers is her husband dying. It's what happened with the trauma of having a child and losing the father of that child at the same time. Mm-hmm. Caused her to have this break in her mind where she's to me the Babadook represents the father of the child or her ex-husband or her husband, where she keeps all of his things in the basement,
right?
And that's where the Babadook lives. Yeah. Comes from, out of the basement. She doesn't want her son playing down the basement with the stuff,
so that's one way to keep him out of there. Oh
yeah. There's all this stuff down there.
And she kind of says that at the end, too, like, you know, when you're older. And, you know, and she, there's the scene where the kid does go down into the basement, and there's the manuscript paper.
Yeah.
And she sleeps with his violin.
Yeah.
So, and if she was a writer, you know, and they had this big house that she can't keep up by herself, mm-hmm. and it's painted ghostly gray. I mean, it's really, yeah, it's really dark. You know, the art direction in the film really makes it seem like a funeral parlor. And so...
and the charcoal that you mentioned.
Right, right. Yeah. So when she shows up at the police station, she's got the charcoal in her hands. Well, is that from burning the book, or is it from the charcoal drawings of her creating the book?
Oh, right. That's what I thought it was.
Wow, really?
That's what I thought it was that from the...
Yeah, so I kind of picture a backstory of them being kind of... Maybe they met in art school, and they have this great life together, and they're very artsy and creative and whatnot, and he's a musician, and she's a writer. And then he dies, she's got this baby, and then... Her life, like, what would you say? It was disassociation, is that how you put it?
Dissociative.
So I see her getting this job, and what's her job? She sits in a nursing home taking care of dementia patients. Mm-hmm. So they've already checked out. So it's like she's like wandering around ghosts all day.
You know, right, already.
People. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I never even thought about looking at it like that.
I don't know if you noticed the scene when the kid is in the basement, when they're in the basement, that he has the kid's, the father's outfit right. on the wall, and it's the Babadook. It's like a top hat with the gloves.
Yeah, so he must have been a violinist at the symphony or something. Yeah. You know, I mean, with his black clothes, you know, his concert black.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Oh, yeah. Because in the police station, that was obvious. They had the hands out there.
Right.
That were sprawled out, looking like
it. There's so
many
things that she, sees.
Right.
And she's taking sleeping pills just whenever she wants, and she's giving them to the kid, and she's up all night, so she's probably having these hallucinations.
Now, was she taking the pills? They never show her taking the pills.
No, it was the
kid.
They're
just for him?
Yeah.
She didn't take any
because
pills?
I kind of thought the vibe I got when she was asking for the pills
was
that she wanted them.
Well, I just assumed
that was the impression I got. But then, like in the movie, she just has him take it.
I thought she wanted to put the kid to sleep.
She wanted to put the kid to sleep so that she could rest.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, because she wouldn't have any problem. Yeah,
and they never leave the house. And then Child Protective Services or they come and visit. She's having hallucinations about the bugs.
Yeah, and I wondered if there was a connection with the roaches and the neighbor's name Mrs. Roach.
Oh yeah,
what really?
Yeah, the neighbor's name was Mrs. Roach. So I wondered if there was some sort of connection there with the seeing roaches. It had something to do with her in some way.
Yeah.
For her.
Because when she looks across and sees her there and smiles and then sees the shadow of the Babadook behind her, which is really creepy. I wish it would have done a little bit more of that. But then again, makes sense if it was that.
And if you look at it as just a horror movie, like there's a monster, like a Freddy Krueger, the ending makes no sense. No.
Right.
And that's why I was reading. I didn't read very many reviews of it, but I read a lot of like comments after the reviews just to see what people's reactions to it. I'm like, what the fuck? The ending sucked.
Feed it worms. Give me a break.
Yeah.
That's so, but what like, I thought. Like, taking the ending apart a little bit, like the little kid's making like the Home Alone weapons to you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're wild. I mean, he's shooting stuff and breaking glass. And then he does all these things because they're crude little kid weapons.
Right.
But did you notice at the end, he shoots a perfect bullseye into the target when they're playing in the backyard. And then his magic tricks that he's learning from the VHS tape, they're astounding. He makes like this silver coin that turns into a dove. And
a dove.
Yeah. And the dog that she killed is buried in the backyard. And there's a black rose growing up from his grave that she's tending to.
That's the first thing Kendall said. Was like, where's a 7-year-old going to get a live dove?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was
watching those shitty borrowed VHS tapes that he got from the library. Where, And then to get real, if you want to lay down on Dr. Corey's couch, I thought even the worms at the end that she took it to could also be like a metaphor for like depression pills or something like that.
Yeah, why were they worms?
I thought it was like she has to keep this part of her, this demon, her inner demon, she has to keep it because it's part of her.
Yeah.
Because that's part of the thing.
You can
never get rid of it. You can never get rid of the Babadook. So she has to keep it, but she has to, like, feed it very little and just maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
And and that's keeping up the story with the boy and locking the doors and keeping him out of the basement and all that. I never thought about
that. The whole thing where she's, I have three kids, and as much as I love them, you know, you might want to strangle him someday. I'm kidding. But the whole scene where she's strangling her son, and he says, "You don't love me anymore, Mommy, but I still love you," and he touches her cheek. I think that's where he saved his own life.
Right.
Also, when Mrs. Roach came over and said, and she expressed her concern.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was, otherwise, when she has that not a flashback, but she has that kind of hallucination that she's watching the news and it talks about a mother killing her son on the seventh birthday. I thought that was
super creepy to have her face in there and she's just like smiling,
peering at you from the television set.
Yeah,
the scenes where she is hallucinating, particularly the like with the roaches, seeing the roaches behind coming out from behind the refrigerator,
the wallpaper,
pulling it out, and then freaking out, and she's cleaning, and then. When they come over, was it the protective services or whatever it is?
Truancy officers or whatever they were.
It's gone.
Yeah.
That section reminded me of another movie I watched called Repulsion, which is a Roman Polanski movie. It's part of his apartment trilogy, which is the first one is Repulsion, the second one is Rosemary's Baby, and the third one's a movie called The Tenant, which I've been trying to find so I can watch it. But it reminded me of Repulsion, and then I noticed when I did some research about the movie is that what's her name, Kent?
Yes, the director.
Jennifer Kent.
Jennifer Kent.
She mentions, wrote it. It's mentioned somewhere that I read that she is a fan of Roman Polanski.
Mm. Right.
And I was like, oh, that makes sense, because it definitely had, it really reminded me of the Catherine Deneuve in that movie. I've never seen that,
but when I saw the roaches, I just kind of went the pharmaceutical route and thought about if she's taking these pills whenever she wants, you know, not like, kind of like, you know, meth heads will see things that aren't there.
Right.
I thought it was more fun.
You have to clean the house, right?
Yeah.
That depends on how much of the dissociative illusions that she was making up in her head, if that was part of that too. So
there's also like repressed memories, you know,
right?
Repressed memories.
I like how they didn't really explain that to you either, and you kind of figured it out by the end. I enjoyed a few things on this that I really enjoyed that I thought they did well. Was one that, well, not explaining everything to you.
Yeah,
not laying it straight out.
Which reminded me of the Japanese, the Ring, and the Grudge. That those movies don't explain very well what's going on. The American versions of them go into big detail as explaining how everything really works.
Right.
But the Japanese one, so maybe it was like Australia's proximity to Asia that has something to do with that. I don't know.
Well, you had to think a little.
It's a
bit.
Local thing,
right?
And then the tension that was brought by the scenes of not sleeping.
Mm.
I really like how they have this one shot, and then they change the lighting, and then they're awake, or you know, the fast time lapse, and she's still awake. By the second time, you're exhausted too for her. You know how she feels.
Yeah, if you've ever stayed up, you know, in your 40s, up all night, for whatever reason, even taking care of a sick kid, or you're taking care of yourself when you're sick and you're not feeling well and you're not thinking clearly. Yeah. I could totally sympathize with her character at that point.
Yeah.
And then the developing the boy is... You did kind of go along with it, because at first you really were annoyed and... Eh. Mm.
There also might be something in there, too, with...
What was the...
He's obviously been with her since this happened, and she's probably had mental problems since this happened. And so he's probably, like... what's the word I'm looking for? Enabling her behavior... Like covering for her, you know. I imagine that, you know, there's something like that.
I wonder, yeah.
You know, or he probably sees what's going on, just thinks it's normal the way mom is, and just knows how to behave, you know, when she's switching. Because there's, you know, you can hear her voice change. Like when she gets kind of snide with the women
at the party.
Where
that was a great scene. Yeah. I love that. Because those bitches, I love it.
But she gets kind of snide with the one lady.
When I work with the disadvantaged women.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you can't make it to the fucking gym. Or whatever. Right. That was great.
Right. And then, but then like with her son, you can see where she starts, like her voice gets even lower and she's getting really angry and aggressive to the point where, you know, finally that scene where she jumps on the door.
Oh, God, yeah.
And is like banging it with her feet. You know, her voice has, you know, changed. She's obviously like becoming someone else at that point.
The God, now you think about it,
maybe she's the Babadook. Maybe she's the monster to him.
Right.
You know, because he uses all of those tricks on her.
Mm-hmm.
Pulling the string on the steps to trip her.
Sure.
Maybe this happens catapult. Every birthday.
Yeah, maybe it happens all the time. Maybe he's preparing for his birthday.
Well, I like the
Jesus.
I like that. That's what
the monster comes. Right. The monster is back.
Hey, it's my birthday. I need to. Well,
that's not to say that she
sword.
Didn't act that way, though.
Happy Babadook.
Yeah.
Your theory still about her having that kind of a different personality doesn't mean that it couldn't play out that way. That at first it was something outside of her, and then one day she snaps, and then makes it part of her, and then she becomes the Babadook.
Yeah.
And just. Let's that take control. So she already imagined this personality outside of her, and then if it gets into her, which she thought it was, she was weak, and she thought that's what was happening, because she's saying bad stuff to him.
Mm-hmm.
That she,
well, she kills
she just,
the dog.
She envelops it as being, you know, possessing her. Which then that whole thing about her with the knife in the thigh and the kid really defending himself.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been all that, and the kid, you know, calming her down in the basement, and whatnot. Then, because if you notice at the end too, they didn't really show it. It was always from its perspective looking at her.
Right. At the end, it was
which is weird.
Whatever happened, like, that was a big light
Yeah.
Scared the shit out of her, and then it ran down and hid in the basement.
You never saw the face after that.
Right.
It was on the ground.
And she kind of touched its hat.
And then it was all just from its perspective, even in, you know, with the worm thing, she bent back. It was all kind of its perspective, so she's got it outside of her now again, that personality. And keeps it in the basement.
Yeah.
You know, that whole movie takes place, the time span in the movie, they say at the end, it could still be maybe kind of a dream sequence or whatever at the end. But when the truancy officers, protective services, come back, they're like, well, he hasn't been in school in 2 weeks. And she talks about how she's getting him enrolled and everything. So, you know, she just had maybe a psychotic episode that only lasted.
That's what reminded me of Repulsion, because she's like in her, in the movie Repulsion, Catherine Deneuve's character lives with her sister, and she goes on this European vacation with her, like, boyfriend, married boyfriend, and leaves her in the apartment, and she just, like, stops going to work and kind of, like, doesn't shower, doesn't change, it walks around in her underpants all the time. And,
the scene I felt was really sad to me as a parent was when, Mommy, I'm hungry, you know, because she didn't go out.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't eating at school. Yeah. Wasn't getting lunch at school. She wasn't cooking, then she just gives them these bigger and bigger bowls of ice cream, you know.
Right.
Like, for 2 weeks, this kid doesn't eat, you know, which doesn't...
And then she put glass, possibly, then, that would be, along your theory, in her own soup.
Yeah.
You know, how that... Because that was kind of just out in left field. They didn't have a... There wasn't a whole lot of torment from the Babadook around the house. Things moving, we never saw anything fly across the room.
No poltergeist kind of activity.
At all. Lights flickering is one thing, and just hearing it on the phone.
Door knocking.
Right, and the door knocking, but that could have all, again, been mental.
From her,
you know, so.
That could have been the
wow, I think you're onto something. I want that to come out in interviews from her. I want to be able to see what that director was thinking. A few facts. Do we have any facts behind the scenes things? I did have a few things that they have a pretty good Wikipedia page about it, too. But the kid was 7 years old, same age. Great actor. And they did a lot with... It took a lot of time because the mother was on the set and, you know...
His mother.
Yeah, his mother. And they had to, you know, every time you see her get really aggressive or screaming, you know, like, eat shit, you know, that kind of thing. You see it as two cuts, so he
wasn't in the scene.
They had somebody standing in. But... Beyond that, there were some things that he was saying that I thought were like, wow,
he's freaking out seeing something next to him in the car.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, how'd they get him to act like that? What were they doing to that kid? You know, what were they showing him? What were they, you know, or did he really just, is he that good of an actor at that age to, like, act as scared of you as you imagine the scariest thing you've ever seen sitting right next to you? Because that kid was freaking the fuck out.
Unless they had somebody dressed as that and, like, outside, they just come up the window. Now they said they didn't want to terrorize
him. Like those old stories, you know, we mentioned William Friedkin earlier. When he made The Exorcist, he went around and shot off guns with planks in them to startle people. And then my favorite story is when the Catholic priest is giving the last rites to... Who got thrown out the window? Was it Father Marin? No, he was the old guy.
He was the young guy.
The young guy. When he was giving the last rites to the young guy down at the bottom of the steps at Georgetown, he didn't like what the priest or the actor was doing, and so he slapped him and then said, action. So So when you were saying, like, they really...
Tormented him.
Spooked him a little
bit. I don't know.
I don't know. He seemed really genuinely terrified.
I like to see what you know, and I was watching it, and it reminded me not... so much the performance, but just the quality of acting, like Haley Joel Osment in Sixth Sense.
Because
that kid carries that movie.
Yeah.
And so I thought, you know, he doesn't, this kid, Noah Wiseman, doesn't, like, carry the movie per se, but, boy, he did a really good job.
And the lead, S.C. Davis, who played Amelia, I thought she was a great actress, too. Really did a great job. Mm-hmm. I mean, I bought into those characters completely.
Yeah.
And I think this... and it was the S.E. Davis and the Jennifer Kent, the writer and director, went to school together. Not film school, but something like that. Pretty close.
School.
Some sort of schooling together. School. Drama school, I believe.
Scuba school. No.
Yeah, so overall, I guess it depends on how you want to go in and look at the movie.
Right, if you're going into it looking like a Nightmare on Elm Street Part 9 or something like that, I can understand where you'd be disappointed.
Yeah.
It's not a, and I'm making air quotes, monster movie,
right.
But it's, you know.
But you're going to have to go home after and figure it the fuck out.
Yeah.
Or see if you want to have
it a couple
experience.
Times. I'll probably
oh,
buy
yeah, I'd
I'll
love to see
buy
it again.
It when it comes out on DVD, because yeah. that's something I'd like to watch a few times.
I'd like to see it again.
I'd like to own that one.
Yeah, I got it on demand on my Roku, and then I think through Amazon. I watched it one night, and then the next day I watched the last 40 minutes again, just mm-hmm. to take some more notes.
And then we watched it twice. Lori wanted to see it, and she had some interesting views from a woman's perspective, and also, yeah, we were talking, because I went to the theater to see it with Molly, who took her daughter, and I took my daughter. My daughter was terrified. She was like, freaking out.
How old's your daughter?
She's 15.
Yeah.
But she was already nervous, but it ended up being, again, no jump out scares, definitely some creepy stuff, and I think, yeah, like them, if they would have kind of thought it was going to be a scary monster movie, you're going to be disappointed if you think it's more of a suspense, a mental kind of a psychological
horror.
Thriller. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
I thought it was I thought it was a lot kind of like in the middle part of the movie. I'm like, especially when she cuts the phone, I'm like, Shining.
Yeah.
It's a lot like The Shining, you know, except for, well, and a lot of times when you watch The Shining, I always thought that he was just losing his mind until I read the book and got that it was actually a paranormal thing. And in this situation, it may be actually like what I thought The Shining was, where she's losing her shit, you know? Jack's losing his shit, but they're just in this little row home, you know? So I thought it was a lot like that, kind of.
The clues were there, though, now that you're looking back at it. So, yeah, I definitely have to watch it maybe a third time. The book comes out of nowhere. It's just on a shelf all of a sudden.
And that pissed me off, too, because I'm like, I don't understand. They never explain where the book's coming from. But if you figure it out.
I noticed right away when they got the book, like, I'm like, that's homemade.
Yes.
Yeah. That is a homemade book. That is not something that got bought anywhere. Mm-hmm. You can tell right away when you see it.
They're going to make that book, though, actually.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
Did you see that? It's going to cost like $80 or something.
Are you serious?
That's what I heard on
I love the last line.
Why? You can make one.
Oh, no shit.
But it's when a pop-up. It's like a homemade pop-up book. It's great.
I love the last line.
It's a creepy book.
In the book.
When you realize what's underneath, you'll wish you were dead.
Yeah.
Oh.
So what do you think the meaning is of, if it's in a word or if it's in a look, you can't get rid of...
maybe we should dissect the...
The Babadook.
The Babadook is also an anagram for a bad book.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh.
So, what about that?
Well, there you go.
Should have wondered that to start with.
You hear that, folks? You're learning something.
Babadook.
So, yeah, I'm not sure what the actual... I mean, some of it was great. And it all had to practically work, too. I love the whole... And the cutting of her neck and the
pop-up
the paper,
book sequence. Yeah.
Yeah, the paper blood comes down.
Oh, yeah.
You're just like, fuck.
Yeah, the book was.
You.
Murder, suicide.
Oh, God. Yes. So that was even creepy. I really enjoyed that.
That was good.
I actually like it more and more talking about it. Yeah, the more I talk about it, the more I go back and watch it and appreciate what was.
There's cool things too. Like I always appreciate good set direction or set decorating and things like that. Like when they're driving in the car, especially when she's really having her manic moment and she hits the guy in the car and just takes off. The trees are all, you know, there's no leaves on the trees and the branches. I don't know what kind of tree it is. Maybe they're CG, but the tree they're not real. I mean, they're not just like his hands, but they're
stylized.
Yeah, they're stylized kind of like to kind of hands, so right? Yeah,
really,
just all that kind of stuff. I really appreciate the thought. That goes into something like that. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah, maybe that was it. I think you guys are actually on to something with that. So the... let's go over Monster real quick.
Nice job, Zip.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was our doctor's analysis.
Yeah.
Now we'll give you a double dose of the two-ball compound.
This was on... this was part of the, I guess, Jennifer...
Kent.
Did this short film. I'm not sure if it was for her school or something like that. She did a short film.
Like 9 minute long.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she made it in 2005. So quite a while ago.
So Babadook is based on Monster. And it's has all the aspects of the monster under the bed, in the you know, but it lacks all of the like psychological stuff. It's basically there is a monster in the house that attacks them and she tells it to get away.
Get back in your
room. Don't, or I'll leave, you know, get away, don't ever touch us, or I will kill you. and it goes back in the closet, and then she's like feeds it a glass of milk at the end of it, and it, like, it reaches out. Yeah. I like the monster in that one because the I was like, oh, that's just like it's like somebody from Marilyn Manson's band.
Yeah. Oh, that's scary.
It's like that's right. Twiggy Ramirez, and if you look him, if you look up monster, it's he has some name like that, like
it's when, like trash or something. Yeah, wasn't it? Yeah, like trash.
Trash Rockwell or something.
Yeah,
like
it was
that.
Something. Yeah. It was a weird name. I remember that too.
It's like the guy's like you when you read it, you're I was like the guy. Yeah, he totally is like. In some goth industrial band, you probably. Know.
Really?
I mean, probably. Yeah. Probably. Yeah. You see the guy. He doesn't look like a monster. He looks like a
maybe he
goth.
Stepped into her movie and then she filmed a music video for him.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. That one had some pretty creepy parts,
oh,
too, that
was,
I really
enjoyed. I thought
enjoyed.
It was great. I love mm-hmm. Monster. I like Monster better than I like Babadook, probably.
Yeah.
But, of course, I don't need to see Monster twice or to really appreciate it. You
right.
Know?
Right.
There was a little bit more of that straight up just creepy monster under the bed kind of
well, I think shot the staircase.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I watched that twice. Me. Yeah. Whew, that was good.
Yeah. She's got some talent. I'm anxious to see what she comes up with next. Probably a rom-com.
Yeah, you know.
Oh,
like
I'm excited for that.
But the I thought that kind of opened up the Babadook a little bit more for me as mm-hmm. far as the feeding it and keeping it contained. But you said also, yeah, like in that one too, that said if you don't I'll kill you kind of thing. So now all of a sudden she's going to kill it, which it just seemed like a weird out of place.
Is that what she says?
I think too.
And
says
I will yeah.
And she says that in Babadook too, right?
Yeah. She does.
It's a weird threat. Yeah. You know, you think you could say something more.
In Monster, it's more like she's dealt with it before. Yes. She's like, don't you? I don't you? That's kind of like what I like. Oh, here he goes again. That kind of a thing, you know?
So then, now, you know, thinking on your theory, I just thought it was a weird choice of words.
Yeah, well, it's just so much like what anyone pissed off would say. It's what, like, Sebastian Bach yells at the guy that dressed his mom.
Right,
in the video.
Yeah.
You know, like, so someone's pissed. I'll fucking kill you! It's like, yeah. You think in an Arnie movie like
she's
that.
She's 70.
He might come up with something better, like, you know, I will...
For those who are playing along at
days.
Home,
would that mean
don't
that
watch
much?
The Sebastian Bach video earlier today.
We'll post that on the show page.
Yeah, check it out if you can.
And his mom was in the mosh pit, and some guy was on.
Yeah, search for Sebastian Bach mom rant or something like that. It's nice. It's pretty great.
We'll just leave it up there. We'll also leave on the link for Monster. You can check that out and see the short film that the Babadook was based off of. We've pretty much gone over this whole thing. So.
And now it's time for new screams. Oh, that was a scream? Sounds like a goat to me.
And that was the sound.
That was it. That was the sound.
There's some trailers. I went through Apple trailers to find trailers of movies that actually aren't out yet. And it took a while. Took a while, but I found some. The first one is one that's out now, at least in our town it is. It's called A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, what's that?
I saw the trailer actually before the Babadook at the same movie theater.
Oh,
that's
oh really?
It.
Guess I saw it, too.
And I also just saw it last night. I actually went back to Film Streams and watched the... There's a Bjork live concert that they had for one night that was pretty amazing, and they had the same trailer. But anyway, let me just kind of read you the little synopsis that I read. Strange things are afoot in Bad City, the Iranian ghost town, home to prostitutes, junkies, pimps, and other sordid souls, is a place that reeks of death and hopelessness, where a lonely vampire is stalking the town's most unsavory inhabitants.
Ooh. Oh, my friend was going
to
go see that.
But when boy meets girl, an unusual love story begins to blossom. Blood red. it's billed also as the first Iranian vampire Western.
Western.
Spaghetti Western.
Really?
Yeah. It's a black and white movie. It looks great. The only scene in the trailer where they show like her fangs pop out, it's like they're like stilettos. It's like a switchblade teeth that...
I do remember that. Okay, I did see it.
It looks interesting. The music, it reminds me of like Quentin Tarantino kind of music. Uh-huh. You know, but it's got that spaghetti Western. Yeah. Sound, you know, it looks cool. I don't really know. I'm giving it a potential rating just based on the fact that it's the first Iranian vampire Western.
Well, it's about time.
I'll go see it based on that. Yeah. But she rides around. She wears like a head covering, you know, and it's like a black, but it's like a black, so yeah. It's like a cape, and she rides around on a skateboard.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
So, but I don't know anything
else about
it.
Of course that has potential.
Definitely has potential. So the next one that I saw a trailer for was Insidious Chapter 3.
Oh. Saw the trailer for that, actually.
It's a teaser. Uh-huh. Coming out in summer 2015. From the very beginning of the trailer, it looks like the apartment building from Annabelle that they move into. In the middle of Annabelle when they move into the apartments. Because they're showing the shot upward. And it reminds me of the same scene at the end of it when the woman has jumped out the...
Well, it's a new family. It's not the same cats from...
Yeah, it's not the same, but it does have the same psychic lady.
And the paranormal dude.
Still, really?
Yeah. And her sidekick.
So it's another prequel. Or another case before
she... So it looks like the same apartment building from Annabelle. And it starts out with there's a girl with two broken legs in a wheelchair, and she's in bed, and she's kind of got maybe a budding romance with the kid that lives next door. He likes her, bought her flowers or something. And she's laying in bed, and she's tapping the shave and a haircut on the, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then there's taps back. And so she texts him saying, am I keeping you up? And he texts back saying that I'm not there, I'm at my grandmother's. And then, she taps again, and then, like, she tries to go to sleep, and, like, this hand comes out of nowhere and grabs her. Then, like, the rest of the trailer shows scenes that don't make any sense because they're all out of order. But they play a really creepy version of Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
Oh, yeah, that.
Throughout that. Mm-hmm. And then the screen words that keep popping up randomly are, "This summer, the darkest chapter goes back to the beginning."
I got a question. Wasn't Annabelle, though, tied to The Conjuring, not Insidious?
Mm-hmm. But it's the same, I mean... The
family of people.
Is it the same people, basically?
James Wan, and he made Conjuring and...
So it's conseivable that they could be all...
In the same universe.
Okay. But I just, that was my when I saw the building at the beginning of the teaser trailer, I'm like, that looks like the exact same building from it. Well, I'm giving it a potential.
Could be.
Because the trailer doesn't make much sense at all. So I'm just giving a potential based on the fact that I liked parts 1 and 2.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll ever connect, you know, Doug, like with it, like you were kind of saying, Insidious. Because in Insidious, I can't remember, it's 1 or 2 with the, he's falling asleep. Or maybe it was Annabelle. Wherever he's teaching.
The guys they've already connected.
Them all straight. Where he's teaching, and then somebody drew Billy the Puppet on the board behind him.
So there's a Saw reference in all his movies. It's possible. It's possible.
The next one I saw is a trailer called Preservation. It's coming out the 15th of January. It's like a camping, hunting trip. It's a guy and his wife. I think it was his wife. They're going on a camping, hunting trip with, I believe, his brother. And I'm trying to remember if they say like he had just gotten out of prison or out of a mental institution.
Like you do.
But then
bring
and then, like they wake up the next day and like all their shit's gone.
Yeah. That's
what and you get. They have like targets drawn on their forehead. And it's like a survival thriller. I'm giving it a pant load because it looks fucking stupid. It's like how many Preservation.
Yeah.
It looked dumb. It looked I was like, oh, another a horror movie set in the woods. It's not really a horror movie. It was listed under horror, but it seems more like a thriller.
A thriller.
Survival thriller.
Ooh.
Anyway, it didn't look super exciting, so I'm giving it the pant load rating.
Is that one already out? Let's look.
15th? It says January 15th, 2015.
Ah, there we go. So that is coming out. Now, that does have some people in it that we know. Oh, of course, it's got this guy. Cody. Nope, not that guy. Not the guy I'm thinking of.
Wrong Cody.
Those Codys.
Bad Cody.
So I got one more. It's a movie called Suburban Gothic. It's coming out the 30th of January. It's a horror comedy, clearly.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
And I believe it's by the same... Or one of the people... it reminded me of another horror comedy that was out recently, and I can't think of it. Anyway, it's got Matthew Gray Gubler in it, who's in Criminal Minds, and he's in Life Aquatic. Life After Beth. He's in that movie,
right.
So which is another comedy.
Oh, I remember that.
But anyway, he's kind of like this hipster guy who can't find a job, moves back in with his parents. back in his hometown. He reconnects with a former classmate, which is Kat Dennings. Which, she's hot. I'd go maybe to just kind of look at her a little bit. Who's a bartender. And so she asked him about how if he still, like, he had this belief in the paranormal when he was back in high school and he had experienced some things. And so then, like, a body of a girl is unearthed in the backyard, which awakens a spirit hell-bent on harvesting souls of the town.
Ooh.
I'm giving it a pan load.
Yeah, but we'll still go see it for Kat
Dennings. I'd go see it for Kat Dennings.
Yeah.
That sounds crazy.
She was the friend.
She's in Two Broke Girls, and she's in Thor, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That girl is pretty hot.
And she's in The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think she played the daughter in that, maybe. She would be a lot younger back then.
Probably.
Yeah, I think she might be the daughter. Because I think I remember, like, oh, she could be hot when she gets a little older.
Well, she's older now, so
there you go.
Let's go.
It looked, whatever. It's a horror comedy.
It might be interesting.
Yeah, they're trying to, you know.
As far as horror goes, I'm giving it a pant load rating, but it might be funny. I don't know.
Entertainment, totally different.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, so, well, those piranha movies, my God, those are fantastic.
It is horror.
We
do get lots of guilty pleasures off of this, so that's coming out.
Yeah, just look at that cover. It looks like
The
Boy Who Could Fly or some shit.
It's at the end, January 30th.
January 30th.
The Boy Who Could Fly.
That's what I got.
Anything that is streaming now on Netflix, DVD, or anything that you've watched recently, they do now have the marked ones. We talked about VHS and marked ones.
Yeah, yeah, I saw
that. That's streaming on Netflix now.
I saw an Italian, I believe, or is it French? I think it's Italian, horror film called The Strange Color of Your Body's Tears.
Yes.
Oh. And
which has a lot of people, like, I thought it had a lot of notable people in that. It looks really interesting.
You know, it's made by this director team, two directors in it. You know, it stylistically, it's pretty cool to look at. Not my cup of tea. I mean, it was really kind of confusing, and I think I have kind of a pretty good eye of figuring some stuff out. But long story short, this middle-of-the-road salesman goes on a business trip, comes back, his wife's missing. And then you got, you know, kind of the weird detective, and they're in this, he lives with his wife in this apartment building, or other condos, but it was like a big old building that at some point they remodeled to make smaller units. And so there's people and strange secrets trapped in the walls, and you know, there's secret passages, and you know, it was remodeling, you know, so people go missing, and there's not as much sex as I thought there was going to be. There's hardly any nudity, and they're just weird things. They have this this montage of all getting stabbed and bleeding and blah blah blah, but it's done with like this color wheel, so that every like, you know, cool, you're getting stabbed and it's blue, and then something happens and then your eye twitches and it's green. I mean, it's very artsy.
Yeah.
And there's this one. Somebody gets stabbed in the head, and there's a head wound, and they made it look like, can I say the word vulva? Can I say that
sure.
word?
Yeah, you can say whatever word you want.
I know. But
say it again.
It looked vulva.
Oh,
so that's what it looked like.
We have no idea what that means, but you know.
Look it up.
It's a car.
I don't know, but that's what it
looked like. I'd drive a Volvo.
Yeah. It's a very reliable and safe automobile.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so like they obviously made
get
it look
you
like,
around.
They made it look like that. So I'm like, all right. You know, you graduated from art school.
That's already
got it.
Yeah,
you know.
That's
but you know, you pay $7.99 a month. It's worth watching.
Yeah, why not?
Guess, you know.
I watched a movie called, I guess, Rec. It's RAC, like record, like abbreviation for record. Somebody had when we did our show on found footage. Somebody on the Facebook
page
made a comment about that movie, and so I put it in my queue of DVDs and just got it. It's interesting. It's a zombie movie, kind of. It's a Spanish movie. It's from Spain. It's all in Spanish with subtitles.
Okay.
And it's a TV show called, or it's like a news network that has a segment called While You Were Sleeping, and it's just about things that happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's this woman with her cameraman who go to a fire station
mm-hmm.
to see what firemen do overnight, and Or in the middle of it, they get a call to go to an apartment building where a woman is stuck in her apartment. And when they get there, they get into the apartment building. And while they're in the apartment building, the authorities show up and right. lock everybody in there and say that we're not letting anybody out. Stay away from the windows. Don't try to get out. And there's this virus yeah. that's being passed around that's causing people like to go to start raging and stuff. Oh. Well, what you find out by the end of the movie is that it's not just like a regular zombie thing where they get bit and now they've like you know need to eat to feed or eat brains or whatever. It's demonic possession passed through saliva. What? And what has happened is at the end of the movie they keep talking about in this apartment building there's like two apartments on every side on every floor mm-hmm. and there's a penthouse and they talk about how the penthouse the person is never there or whatever and they end up in the penthouse because they get the keys they're trying to get out it's kind of a long story but they're trying to get out through the one guy says they can get out through the basement but they need to get a key. Which is in the like the superintendent's right. Thing, and they get in there, and then when they're going to go downstairs, all the other zombies are coming up the steps, so they run up to the penthouse. And when they're in there, there's no power, no lights, but they are using like the light on the camera. Yeah, well, they get to night vision later.
Oh, well.
But they're using the light on the camera to go around, and it's the classic horror scene of movies where the walls are plastered with newspaper articles, right?
Yeah.
And it's all about this possessed girl. And so apparently there was a girl who was possessed, and he's got her. He figured out that it's some sort of enzyme that causes demonic possession. And while he's got her at this apartment, the enzyme mutates and becomes viral. And so he has to, like, keep her locked in this apartment somewhere, like
really?
Boards are like, and somehow she ends up getting into the ventilation system or whatever,
yeah.
and it causes the spread. And I kind of read about I haven't seen the second one, but I read about the second one to get some more explanation of what's going on.
I was when you were describing this, it seemed really familiar, and I think they did an American
version. There's an American version called Quarantine.
Yeah. So I've seen Quarantine, and it's pretty much, well, I don't remember a ton of it. But the very beginning of it is exactly that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
And what I read also about Quarantine is that there's a Quarantine 2.
Yes.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
Sorry. I had to jump in.
You have to. Sorry.
Stuff it,
Thank
Turbo.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Anyway, but they talk about how I always find it interesting when there's sequels to movies, like different, you know,
right.
like there's an American version of this Spanish movie. Well, the Spanish movie has like there's four movies.
Oh.
And there's an American version called Quarantine, and there's a sequel to that movie. But, like, part two of Quarantine has nothing to do with the continuation of the...
Right.
The exactly. continuation of the wreck, I guess.
The real one.
So, I thought it was great. I really liked it. It was an interesting take. The female is a bit... The star is a babe.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good.
Nice.
I like the angle of demonic. I got my zombie fix and my paranormal Demon. Fix all in one movie.
Well,
when you were first describing it the other day to me, I thought when you you know they said that it was spread through saliva and it was kind of like a virus. I like how it also has the paranormal edge to it because it reminded me when you were starting to talk about 28 days later or 28 hours mm-hmm. later, you know, right. it was the rage virus, but
different take on the zombie thing, different take on the demon thing.
Yeah,
nice.
Same thing.
It's like peanut butter and jelly.
Why not?
They taste great together.
I noticed a couple of movies that were on Netflix. One, John Dies at the End, and that was a decent movie. More of kind of a monster kind of movie, but significant because that was Doug Jones is in that movie as well. Non made up in anything, and he's been a guest on our show. And then also right there, Knights of Badassdom. Of course, it's a. We were trying to tell Brian about it today, what LARPing was. He didn't know what LARPing was.
Hey, man. I led a sheltered life.
And it's got... That one has a lot of really cool stars in it, actually. The Knights of Badassdom. We've got our guy from True Blood. And, I mean, everybody in there is actually a pretty big star, which was kind of interesting because this particular movie is not even a fantasy. It is kind of a horror movie because they conjure up a demon on accident... And it goes rampaging through the LARP fest, just taking off heads and arms and gutting people. And the demon actually possesses or takes the form of his ex-girlfriend, and she puts her hand through a guy's heart
and pulls out his heart. Yeah, and
eats it. She's got to eat it.
Not the first time she did that.
No,
jeez.
A flashback.
There's a scene where the whole bathroom is full of blood. There's a girl and girl makeout scene, and then she just starts eating the girl.
Wait,
which was
eating. Define.
Yeah.
Could you describe that slower, please?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was basically
Was there all that tongue?
Well, it was like kissing, and then she kind of bit her face and bit her neck, and then
devouring.
No.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it always a scary thought, though? Somebody just kissing you and making out, and all of a sudden, and start eating your face.
I'll never kiss the same again.
Never. But yeah, I mean, there's a ton of people in this. Peter Dinklage is even in this. Summer Glau from Serenity's in this. A ton of people are in this. Ryan Kwok.
When does this come out? This is 12 or 13.
We interviewed two people from this particular movie. One was Douglas Tate, who plays a Bom Nog, which is the big giant demon, and it's full on guy on stilts in a suit with the extensions.
Knights of Badassdom.
So he's
get it. I'll come over and watch with you.
Yeah, right I think you think
we
it's
have
funny.
To have your system for
you'll
this.
You'll get to see it.
A badass.
Exactly. And then we interviewed. He's kind of uncredited, but it was during a scene where the main character is working in like an auto shop, and then there's like this they're playing music, and it's just kind of like then the boss comes out and says, "Hey, turn off that music," which was Larry Zerner.
Oh,
so. Shelly. His name is actually Shelly in this movie.
Is it really?
Yeah. But it says uncredited. So, but he's got a little cameo in there, and he comes out. So we had two people on the show from this particular movie too. It was kind of fun. So,
Shelly.
Yeah, that's all the screams in the dark I'm going to talk about today.
Have you interviewed Larry Zerner?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, back before I.
Yeah. Yeah. This was pre B.
BC.
Yeah, this is
before BC.
This is BB.
I gotcha. Well, Brian.
He's the guy from part three, Friday, that he gets the hockey.
He brings the hockey mask.
Yeah. Oh. He tries to get laid. He's the kind of the nerd of the movie.
Got the afro.
He's great, though. It's so funny, man.
Little Jufro.
Right. Is that all you're going to do all weekend? Smoke pot?
Yeah.
What else is there, man? all right, so if you've got any comments on the Babadook and theories as well, if you can break this theory that that now has been put on the table, please let us know and send us an email or comment on our Facebook page. And if you have any other angles, things, if you are a single mom and have ever...
I'd love to hear from...
Yeah.
I'm a single mom, that'd be great. Not in that way.
I would in that way.
Let us know how you Babadook.
His email is zip at...
How do you Babadook? Babadook. Yeah, you can never get rid of that, though.
Babadook.
Yeah. Just never leave.
Feed it your worm.
Yeah,
feed it.
Some worm times.
Got to keep an eye out for outbreaks.
That's right. Oh, boy. All right. Well, that's our show. My name is Wayne.
I'm sleepy.
This is Zip.
This is Brian.
Bye. Good to see you, Doug.
We'll see you next time on the Necronomicast.
Happy New Year.
You've been listening to the Necronomicast, a weekly podcast produced by Wayne Brecky, part of the Free Life Media Network. For show notes and other information, go to necronomicast.com.